we've had this part of the worship time to prepare ourselves for this table. We come to the Lord's table, not as something lightly, but as something taken very, very, very seriously. And this morning, Karen and I want to lead you. Karen is going to share the congregation words. We have it on our screens for you to see. It's called A Prelude to the Lord's Supper, a responsive reading. And I want you to join with us as we share this together and as we prepare our hearts for what we just sang about. We do this supper in remembrance of Jesus Christ. May that be our focus. May that be all we do as all of us as a family today come to this table. In just a few minutes, when you receive that little piece of bread, and you receive that cup, and as you hold it there in your hand, again, nothing saving about partaking of this supper. It's in remembrance. But realize his body. We've spent since Christmas or before Advent season talking about from the manger to the cross and the empty tomb. One last Sunday was Easter, celebration. This Sunday is celebration around the table of Jesus Christ. You join with us this morning. Our congregation begins that, and you share with Karen, and I'll read the leader part. Let's read this together. Despised.
Master.
Accused.
Lord.
Ridicule.
Provider.
Lover.
Rejected.
Broken.
Bleeding.
Powerful.
Crushed.
Pure.
Mocked.
Merciful.
Wondrous.
Torture.
Mercy giver.
Wounded lamb.
Pain.
Blood.
Sweat.
Surrounded.
Bound.
Bludgeoned.
Bruised.
Humiliated.
Shamed.
Pierced.
Sacrificed.
The sentence.
The journey.
The wood.
The thorns.
The nails.
The rope.
The stains.
The wind.
The thunder.
The moment. The act.
The covenant.
The passion.
The commitment.
To me.
To me.
Yesterday.
Today.
Forever.
One.
Simple.
Word.
Grace.
Wow. One simple word. Grace. Folks, we come to this table not because of who we are, but because of all Jesus is to you and me. It is a celebration. But how do we come? How do we remind ourselves? Is it just something we do in the Southern Baptist Church? Or does the supper become a meaningful celebration of the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And the fact that one day, the Bible promises us that our Lord Jesus is going to come and get his church. And if you know Jesus, and you're living at that point, you'll learn how to fly. The Bible says those who died before us in Jesus are coming out of that grave physically. Wow. But all of us who are alive will learn how to fly. And we'll meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, together we shall be with the Lord. How do we prepare ourselves? I want to center this morning on one verse in the scripture that I read to you. And really, verses 27 through 30, but verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and then so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. How do we do all this? First thing that must happen is this. You must be a believer in order to participate in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is not a time for unbelievers. It is a time for believers to come together to celebrate who Jesus is and what Jesus has meant and what he's done for you and me. The Bible is very explicit about an unbeliever not understanding something about this supper or things completely in general spiritually. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are preaching, but to us who are being saved," those who are perishing rather, "but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God." To those who are without Christ, what we're talking about and what it sounds like to them is foolish. Paul tells the Corinthian church again in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "But the natural man," that means the unbeliever, "does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The supper is for believers, and only a believer can understand its significance and its meaning. Second thing, how do we prepare? We must come to Jesus with a contrite heart. That word contrite simply means to be remorseful. It means to be ashamed. It means to be sorry. But if you look at that word in the Greek language in the New Testament, it's a word that we refer to as repentant. And to be repentant doesn't simply mean to feel sorry for your sin. When you are repentant of your sin, that means you turn from that sin, an about face, and walk toward Jesus. That's repentance. And without repentance, there can be no forgiveness of sin. We must come to Jesus with a contrite heart. Jesus died for you and me, folks. He took every sin you and I would commit to the cross. We can't handle our own sin apart from our own, the world's sin. But he took every sin that you and I would ever commit. We cannot be good enough to measure up. We can't come to this table like that. But we can come to this table with a contrite heart. "Lord, in humility I come." Then the third thing, I think, what must happen to all of us before we come to this table is not only do we literally get up and come, in a physical way, the men are going to serve you. Not only do we come with a contrite heart, but before you ever come to this table, the Bible gives us a grave warning. And so oftentimes we just kind of skip over this part. And the warning says, "But let a man examine himself." Wow. When you and I think of the word examine, we think of a word that means to look over, to check out, to test, like an examination. But folks, in the Greek language, there's a little word called dokimazo. Doesn't even sound like examine. But that's the word that's used here, and it means to test, prove, discern, demonstrate, to understand something to be genuine. So there's a goal in the examination. The examination means you examine, it's an examination from within. The word indicates that you're examining yourself to make sure you are genuine before you come to this table. What separates man from God? There's one thing. Help me out. Somebody say it. Sin. No matter how you look at that word, no matter how you see it in Scripture, sin separates man from God. There are many in this house who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They have intentionally invited Jesus Christ into their life. But the Bible says that we are to confess that sin to God daily. There's a one-time experience that Jesus said in the Word that he came and died once and for all for you and me. And there is a time, and there's come a time in your life as a believer where you intentionally said, "Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I need the Savior of the world, the sinless Savior of the world, to forgive my sin. And you came to that cross. You died for me. It should have been me up there. You died for me. You took every sin I would ever commit to that cross and covered it, atoned for it, covered it with your sinless blood completely. And I always say, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, we are completely sealed, the Bible says. But yet we sin. And folks, as Christians, when we blow it, when we sin, and the Bible says we fall short, what happens to our relationship with God, to God, when that sin comes back in there? Separation. And folks, we can get a chasm built that's miles long with unconfessed sin. Where sometimes we feel like God's nowhere around to be found or whatever. Well, folks, God didn't move. The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what do? We confess our sin. Now, Brother Randy, you mean every sin I've ever committed? Folks, if you're like me, it's hard to remember something if I don't write it down. You ever do that? You write something down, then you forget where it is you wrote it down? You know? God understands that. We're human. We're finite. We exist between birth and death. But let the Holy Spirit convict you of sin. God recalls that to your mind that is not confessed. And we confess it to God. The Bible says with a repentant heart, God will take that sin. And the psalmist says He separates it as far as the east is from the west. He don't remember it. Never be brought up to me ever again. Not from God. Satan loves to do it. And we love to do it to ourselves. When was the last time you took a step back and you and I, we saw ourselves as Jesus sees us? He's calling upon us this morning to take an inward look at who we are and then come to this table. So many times, professing Christians act like unbelievers. Just look at the stats. You can't tell the difference between a Christian and a pagan in the 21st century society. So what causes us to do this as we before we ever come to this table? What causes a Christian, supposedly, to act like he's an unbeliever in his life, in his attitude, or whatever? Well, first thing, I think there are three, and then we come to this table. Number one, he didn't know Jesus Christ. My Bible says when you come to Jesus Christ, there is a change in your life. Something takes place. Something incredible takes place. Jesus Christ takes complete control. Matthew chapter 7, be aware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The Bible says in John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches, He says. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15, 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. How do you know someone's a Christian? The Bible says it. They bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Without exception, you will know them by their fruits. And I think the second thing that is a detriment to me and you is we have so much unconfessed sin in our life as a child of God. That this chasm has been built between all this sin. The Bible says if you confess your sin, I am faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. When was the last time you confessed sin to God this week or today? Or has it been a long time? The Bible says daily, constantly, confess. You see, I believe that's what the Bible means to examine ourselves, to look deep within our life, and to make sure we're genuine. And folks, we're one beggar telling another beggar for it to find bread. We're very human. And all the ground at the foot of the cross is level. There's no differences. Folks, let's come to that table this morning begging God to forgive us. you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? As we prepare for this experience of the Lord's Supper, I want you to ask God to recall to your mind and heart sin in your life that needs to be confessed. Perhaps there are strongholds going on, Satan has on you. And I know you don't have to be reminded of that. Satan does a pretty good job. But folks, let the Lord convict you this morning. Confess that sin right now. Just in your heart, nothing out loud. Just say, Lord, I blew it. If you're like me, we can write books on how much we blow it. I want you to imagine yourself sitting at the feet of Jesus, and you're right now, and every sin right now you can remember. We've got some long lists, don't we? Then I just keep writing, you do too. Then in your heart, I want you to take that list you are making. And I want you to see yourself hand it to Jesus. Nothing fancy, it's just a piece of paper. You scribbled out all your sin that you can remember at this moment. And you're handing it to Jesus. Now when Jesus looks at you, that just does you in, because that's holy God looking at sinful man. Wow. But I want you to see what he does with that little piece of paper. Because I believe he takes that piece of paper of yours that's covered with your sin that you've confessed to him. And I believe he puts his very blood on that sin and it vanishes. The only thing you see is blood. And then even the list is gone. You don't hear a thing we say or I say this morning, I want you to hear this. When you confess your sin to Jesus Christ with a repentant heart, the Bible says he cleanses us. Not only does he forgive us, he cleanses us. Ladies and gentlemen, he obliterates it. It will never be remembered to you again. That's how I want you to come to the table. And Lord, may we come to this table this morning clean before you. Thank you, Father. We can share in this table in remembrance of you. As you continue to pray, gentlemen, if you'll prepare our table. As Clay talks to these men and tells them what part of the congregation they're going to be involved in, I want you to understand something as we share with you this bread. This is not done as something formal. These men have the privilege of serving you and of serving you the blessing of the cup, the blessing of the bread. And that's exactly what it is, folks. It is a blessing. It is the fact that as we hold this bread, we remember this in remembrance of Jesus. So my prayer for you is that our thoughts, that God would take captive of every thought we have right now, not let us move around in our thinking. Let us focus on the cross and that little piece of bread, for it represents the body of Jesus Christ. We're going to bless that bread, after which these men are going to share that with you. And then I'll tell you, all of us will eat together. But remember, as Clay comes, we just bless and ask God to bless what we're doing in the blessing of this bread, that we do proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.
Just help us to consider the sacrifice that was made as you gave your body and it was broken for us. And then, as Brother Randy has already spoken about, that we consider ourselves and realize what you have called us to, each one of us. And Father, again, that we just focus our minds and our hearts on the cross on which you died. All do this in remembrance of you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Passover meal. And he took that crisp bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which will be broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. The Bible says, after the same manner, Jesus took the cup. And when he had blessed it, he gave it to them to drink. The Seder meal, there are four cups. Each has a significant meaning. The third cup of the Seder meal is called the cup of redemption. And when the host of the Seder meal stood up to share about the cup of redemption, they talked about the redeeming of the children of Israel through the Passover. And that's what the disciples expected. But when Jesus stood up, he said, "This is my blood that is shed for you. Drink this in remembrance of me." Those men were blown away. Jesus is our sacrificial lamb. He took every sin that we'd ever take, that we'd ever go to the cross, that we'd ever commit to the cross. And as a result, we can stand before a holy God. May God bless what we do. Brother Lonnie, our vice chairman of our deacons, is going to come and ask God's blessings on this cup. Then our men are going to join him here, and they'll be serving you the cup. And as you hold that cup, remember, this is the blood of Jesus. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Let's pray.
Holy Father, as we remember and celebrate this shed blood, this cup that we're about to partake of, may we not only be reminded today, but each and every day, of where it came from. May we be reminded that we are indeed special beings because of this perfect plan that was put into place from the beginning of time. We thank you and we celebrate you and bless your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many souls to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Bible says this is the cup of the new covenant of my blood. As oft as you drink this in remembrance of me. Let us all drink together. Following the supper, those men sang a hymn and went out. There's a prayer. It's called, I Gave My Life for Thee. And I want that to be our prayer this morning, our prayer of invitation, our prayer is commitment to the Lord. You see, now what do we do because we've experienced this supper? We have another responsibility. Our responsibility is to go out these doors and proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. That's what we're to be about this week, letting people know about Jesus, letting people know what Jesus has done for us, proclaiming to the world that He's alive. Karen's going to lead us. I want you to stand there quietly and reverently. I gave my life for thee. You sing that as your prayer, and as God directs.